better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Got a lot of stuff here today at World of Wireless.
Yeah, he showed me this trailer that they have outside. It's the Ultimate Tailgater trailer, and it's got three TVs in it, which is awesome, but it has its own bathroom in it.
And a beer tap.
The TVs are cool, but I think having the bathroom and the beer tap might be the best thing of all of it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool when he was showing it out. But yeah, it's popped up over here at World of Wireless, and we're going to be out here. Yep. It's throughout the morning here on the Morning Rush. And you know, there's a lot of things we want to get to. Obviously, with Wednesday, it's being a What's Your Beef Wednesday, which we always have fun with and we're going to enjoy. And if you want to get in on the conversation, you can do so by texting in or calling into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. But I'm also really looking forward to the fact that around 8 o'clock this morning, the athletic director from the University of Arkansas, Hunter Yurchek, will be joining us on that Cherokee Casino Hotline, because there's a lot of things I think that we can discuss with him and get his thoughts and opinions on all the game day experiences that they've been trying to improve on from the past few years.
Yeah, they've worked hard the last few weeks, or at least they've been working hard for months, I'm sure, to set up the things they've announced over the last couple of weeks. So be good to catch up with Arkansas's athletic director, and talk about the business of Arkansas Athletics. I mean, we were talking a lot yesterday about ticket sales and this being a critical year for Arkansas football to get more people back under the tent, more people interested in buying tickets. He made the statement in Fort Smith a couple of weeks ago when he's here at the One Razorback event about it being the ticket sales being reflective of a two-win football program. So, you know, when you go 2-10, it obviously has a hit on your revenues. You know, what's the realities of that? Because at some point, you know, football ticket sales are such a huge slice of the revenue pie, that things start changing. Decisions have to be made. So it is a critical year. So it'll be a good conversation to find out what's going on right now with football season, you know, 10 days away. So,
well, and that was the thing when I was thinking about it last night and I was going through just kind of some of the things I'd like to ask and talk with Hunter Yurchek, is he is in such a unique situation. And it's not a good one, but it's a unique situation to where he's still fairly new on the job. And he comes in, and there's a lot of programs that are doing really well right now under the University of Arkansas umbrella. And that baseball is, of course, doing really well. You have some of the smaller sports. Basketball, obviously, they made a coaching change, but basketball was never doing just – it wasn't in the toilet. It wasn't doing just awful under Mike Anderson. So he had that. But, I mean, he has to come in essentially here into about year two of his tenure and try to figure out how to make this work with football, because – it is, as when it comes to the financials part of it, I'm not talking about just the success of it, but the financial part of it, it's getting lower and lower, and he's got this huge stadium that he needs to try to fill to get season tickets bought. He's got all these other issues going against him and working against him in the football program, football program being the thing that actually makes the money at the athletic department, and he's just found himself in just a peculiar situation where he's got to figure out how to make this work, because if Chad Morris can't get it going just with the wins and losses, then it's going to fall on him to try to make it work and try to get people back into the seats.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately we know what will put people back in seats. I mean, it's not a secret. It's winning. You know, you got to win football games. None of us are clueless about that. He knows it. So that's the whole key, is finding a coach that can build it. How much time? I mean, that's the thing that we want it. We want it now. We wanted it yesterday. That's just the nature of college athletics. But, you know, the reality is you didn't get to this point where you had a 2-10 year, you know, that was preceded by a 4-win season. You know, you don't dig out of those holes overnight, and you only do it with recruiting. I think what's even more telling about where this program was at and where it's got to go and the hole you're digging out of is when the players that left your program, where they ended up, and then how they're doing at places that they're at now. So, you know, and you can look and see that the players that were Brett Bielema recruits that entered the transfer portal, there hadn't been a ton of high success there as far as going other places and winning starting jobs. Not a lot of those players went to Power 5 schools. And, you know, you got two quarterbacks that were, you know, leading your program last year that are playing at non-Power 5 schools. And now we know that Ty Story, the news is he's not going to start at Western Kentucky. So, and he was going to be your starting quarterback at an SEC program. So that just tells you the deficiencies that they had with this roster that Chad Morris took over that he's got to fix. And you don't fix those overnight.
Yeah, and in, as weird as it is to say, it's almost like the fact that it came out where Ty Story did not win the job at Western Kentucky was almost like a bigger justification on why things were so bad. I'm not saying that people are making excuses for and saying that it was fine to go 2-10, but a lot of people are saying, hey, if he can't win the starting job at Western Kentucky, then it truly shows just how bad the deficiency was at quarterback last year.
Now, to paint the edges out of that picture a little more, and I don't know anything about the quarterback battle and all this. I do know that the guy that's going to likely win that job has another year of eligibility and has been in that system, and you know, the coaches there, I'm sure, would rather have a multi-year starter than a one-year starter. So that's one thing this transfer portal creates is tough decisions for a coach about how do you set the future of your program. And when you're a coach that has a little more leash or a little more leeway based on credits, if you will, with your fan base and your athletic department, you can, you know, maybe look at decisions a little differently. But I know Ty Story was going up there to try to win that job against a guy that, A, had been in the program and still has another year in that program after the season. So that does make a difference in his regard. But nonetheless, my point is that the misses in recruiting that Bielema left behind, Chad Morris has to clean up, and you can only do that 25 players at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like the answer, but the reality is it's going to take one more recruiting class after what's on there up there now. And then it's going to take another couple of years to really get back to the point where you're competitive in the SEC West. And when I say competitive, you're in the hunt for third, you know, something like that. You know, and that's just the reality. I don't think there's going to be this huge leap this year. I think there'll be improvement. You may double your win total or more, but I mean, that's still not this huge leap I think we're all hoping for.
No, and it just makes you wonder that if under Bielema, the misses that you had at the quarterback position, because it's not just, it's just the Ty Story miss. But if you look at some of the guys that he recruited at quarterback, if it wasn't for the Allen brothers, I mean, Rafe Peavy couldn't even see the field much at SMU, you know, and he was considered a highly recruit. We all know the Ricky Towns situation and how disastrous that was. It just seemed like, specifically at the quarterback position, he missed a lot at, which makes me wonder if he was missing that much at quarterback.
That's exactly right.
What about all the other positions that we see some of these guys that are on the team? We're like, hey, this guy's supposed to be pretty good. This guy was a highly recruited kid. But yeah, why isn't he working out?
The only place he seemed to get some dudes, and they still, you know, he still didn't get enough of them was defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, even then he didn't get enough of them.
And there were still one or two linemen he put in the league, offensive linemen. But some of those guys had to be transformed from other positions at times. I mean, you look at Froholt, you know, there was a guy that wasn't brought in to be an offensive lineman, you know, but Ragnow was probably the most prized offensive lineman. I guess Sebastian Tritola could be another one you would put on that list. But, no, you're right. There was just a lot of misses. The wide receivers was really deficient. So, I mean, I'm just saying that Chad Morris has got to fix this problem over the long term. It's not going to get fixed overnight just because the roster's got to get fixed. And I just think that's becoming more and more evident based on what we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think the more and more we see it and now it starts to get weeded out, I think that's where people are hoping that Chad Morris is better at than Brett Bielema, is evaluating these guys when they're coming out of high school as recruits, that he can develop them the right way, that he just puts them in a position to where they can at least be successful and utilize their strengths, not where you are constantly having to throw guys out there that have no business being on an SEC roster. That's what you're hoping you can overcome. But, I mean, again, we're not going to know all this stuff until the season actually gets going, until we see Arkansas in game two line up against Ole Miss. Not to say Ole Miss is a great SEC team, but they are an SEC team nonetheless. To see how they stack up against that team, then we'll know if these deficiencies have been addressed, if things are getting better, if they're actually going about it the right way and developing guys and recruiting the right guys and putting them in the positions that they need to be in. That's going to be the key. But, again, I don't always want to throw dirt continuing on to Brett Bielema, although I do enjoy it. I do enjoy throwing dirt on Brett Bielema. It is just one of those things that it just sucks. It just sucks that Arkansas is in this situation, that Chad Morris is in this situation, that Hunter Yurecek's in this situation. Of course, the fans are in this situation, that they're having to go through and endure this. And it just makes me wonder, taking all things into consideration, I mean, how much time does Chad Morris really need to get this thing going? Is it going to take longer than what it would normally take a normal, regular coach? You know, it's always been about, I'll give the coach 4 years. I like my coaches like I like my presidents. Give me a 4-year term. And then if they do a good job, we'll decide to give them more time or not. But, you know, it just makes you wonder that if Chad Morris is going to need more, even more time than that to really get this thing going.
I mean, you look at what was going on at Clemson when he was there. We've heard that story how many times?
A billion times.
About the patience that they had at Clemson, and look what it's turned into. So, you know, a lot of people's success is found right after they were about to give up and quit. You know, that's just the way life is a lot of times. A lot of people quit one swing of the hammer away from knocking down the wall. And I don't know. I don't think Arkansas is anywhere close to knocking down any walls right now. But you just got to keep, you know, it sounds like coach speak. You just got to keep swinging the hammer right here.
Yeah.
I think you just got to keep swinging the hammer in recruiting more than anything.
Yeah. Iron sharpens iron one day at a time.
Yeah,
you know,
all that stuff.
All that cliche.
All that stuff.
All that cliche stuff.
So. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Do you think that after this scrimmage today, they'll go ahead and name the quarterback, or you think they'll wait till after Saturday?
I'll tell you what, Danny, I think it's going to be tonight.
He's going to step to the microphone and name it today.
I think he's going to say, guys, we got him. Okay. And then everyone's going to go crazy and cheer. And I think it's going to be named.
Well,
tonight.
I noticed yesterday everybody was like Jalen Hurts and all over different programs. They were naming their starters yesterday. So I figure we're getting pretty close. Next question is, what percentage do you put on the fact that whoever he names a starter will remain that way the rest of the year?
That's a good question right there.
Yeah, if I had to put a percentage on it, man.
So you want us to name the unknown starter's percentage chance of starting all the games. Is that what you're asking me, Danny?
Say, for instance, he names Ben Hicks and his first couple games, and he struggles, say, first half against Ole Miss. And do you think they'll come out the second half and – you know, you get the feeling that he'd like to go with the big cannon arm, Starkle, but he's familiar with Hicks. You know, I'm going to be curious to see which direction they go.
Here's how I'd answer that question. Hicks is more familiar with the offense, so that gives him an edge early. But I think we all believe Starkle's arm talent that you just mentioned and his experience of play at this level give him an edge for the long haul.
Before I get off here, I want to get my little beef in. It's about hair. I've seen you guys on your Periscope or whatever it is. Looks like all you guys got really good hair, you know. So
except Ty.
When you get my age, I'm 65. I'm about the same age Clay is. I was amused at him talking about a deuce and a quarter yesterday. But, you know, it's not the fact that I don't have hair. You know, they once said, if you lose your hair, I said, no, I didn't lose it. It fell out. But I'll tell you where it goes, guys. It goes to your ears.
Well, it just migrates.
And that's what.
Yeah, the older you get, it just migrates further down your body.
Yeah, you get to shave your ears every 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's my beef, guys. You have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Appreciate the phone call, Danny.
That's what you young guys have to look forward
to. Boy, I can't wait. I can't wait. You made it sound so fun and so great to be able to go to that point. Yeah. But to go to your original question, though, Danny, I think that they're going to name the quarterback tonight. I think they're going to name it Starkle. I think Nick Starkle is going to be named
Starkle. You don't think they're going to review film? You don't think they're going to wait till the staff meets. You think the decision's made, essentially.
QB1 will be named tonight. After
is that because you want that to be the situation, or because you think that's the way Morris is going to handle it?
Tommy,
because
I have smell a bet. I smell a bet.
Because I have sauces, all right? I got the source going in, all right? I know a little bit about it. And this is me taking my shot in the dark, which is surely to go wrong. He's going to come out and he's going to name John Stephen Jones.
No, I think it will be Starkle ultimately who is the starting quarterback. But I just think Morris is more calculated. We're just arguing about the timing now.
Right, right.
I just think Morris is more calculated, more inclusive with his staff's opinion, and watching, I just can't see him not watching the film on today's practice before including that into his evaluation. How do you tell the players that, you know, we didn't even watch the film. we didn't even look at how your plays on film really looked and evaluate those. I just decided to go into the media press conference and name the starter without watching practice on film.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, what if he has watched it all and he just...
You're not going to watch... He's going to leave the practice field, talk to his players, and then come meet with the media. There's no time to watch practice under the scenario you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. What if he's just already made his decision, though?
Well,
and then he's just going to officially announce
it. So today's practice is meaningless, then?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. That's the point I'm driving at, is under that scenario, today's practice means nothing.
It seems like that a lot of the team, if not the whole team, is under the impression that the decision will be made today. And even we heard about last week, when we were talking with Clay Henry, that it seemed like most of the media felt like that it would be named today, Wednesday, after the practice.
You can go to hitthatline.com and watch Coach Morris's address to the media from yesterday. About just short of 2 minutes in, he says Starkle took, I think we got the clip, we can play it. Starkle took all the snaps with the ones today. That's the thing we're looking for, whether it's Hicks, Jones, Starkle, whoever. Who's getting consistently more snaps with the ones? Because there's your starter, Judge. I mean, that's what you're looking for in practice. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, go ahead and play that clip for us, Ty.
Nick took all the ones today.
It's literally, he went into a completely other spiel.
All right, good clip there.
We all know Morris is not exactly the most eloquent speaker when it comes to dynamite words, but that's literally, he goes into something completely different else. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pull this and not put in 20 seconds of crap the rest of it. So
all right, that's the full context there. Yeah. Give it to us again. I want the full context.
Nick took all the ones today.
All right. Tommy, you're going to get on to me, but listen to that clip and then tell me that anything else he says after that is associated.
That's the only thing you hear. You could play that. In fact, I want you to go get the 10 seconds before and after. And the only thing you're going to hear is this.
Nick took all the ones today.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Those are the only words that matter. That's the only. Nick took all the ones today. Now, today's the key word there. But that's what you're looking for, is who is the quarterback taking the most snaps?
Let's go get a weather report. It's going to rain. All right, great. Thank you for the weather report.
That's it.
That's what it reminds me of.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah. But no, I get what you're saying. And obviously, with him taking the ones, like, I'm sorry, you don't – why would you give one guy all the ones through a scrimmage unless you knew that he was the guy? Why would you give one QB all the ones in a scrimmage right here where you're just 10 days away from football season?
I'm very interested to see – if today's practice, if the report we get is different, is today come out and instead of Starkle took all the ones, Ben Hicks took all the ones, then we're back to square one. Then we're back to where we were 24 hours ago. We still don't know anything. So if today Morris steps to the microphone and says, nah, Ben Hicks took all the ones today, which later on in this same press conference from yesterday, he said there would be more of a rotation today. So I'm just... That's the evidence I think anyone that's watching is looking for, is will they tell us that, hey, yeah, this quarterback's getting 70% of the snaps with a one, 80% of the, something. That's when you know you're pretty close to this guy being the starter.
I think it's a smoke screen.
Y'all need a bet. I mean, Tommy, you're on one side of the fence. John, you're on the other.
Well, no, because we agree it's the same guy. We're just talking about timing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. John thinks it's going to be announced tonight.
That's
Tommy.
If we're going to bet on something, we're going to make it worthwhile other than the timing of it all.
This is just semantics we're arguing about.
But that's what I say it in jest. But it's a smokescreen.
Okay.
Because if he came out and he said that, Nick Starkle took all the snaps with the ones today and didn't come over and say, but tomorrow Ben Hicks is going to get in the rotation as well. If he would have just left it as, hey, Nick Starkle took all the ones today, people would be like, well, I guess starting quarterback there. There he is.
Well, But, you know, those comments were separated by about 5 minutes, though, in the press conference. So
yeah, I listen, I am just looking at it from the prism of that Chad Morris does not give us diddly when it comes to information in his press conferences, for the most part.
Well,
and I'm just trying to read between the lines. What is he giving us?
He went deep into conversation about right guard yesterday, and he was asked directly about Shane Clinton, and he talked about three different guys at right guard. And I know that's not a lot of fun, and you don't want to sit here and have a discussion about right guard, but that may be as or more important.
So he named the three guys in the depth chart right guard. Great.
Who's getting this? And the guy he was asked about wasn't even one of the guys he ended up talking about. So, you know, and he spent 30 seconds talking about Myron Cunningham. That guy's apparently a stud and going to be one of the dudes up front. Colton Jackson was back. To me, those are things that we continue to not talk enough about that are going to determine more wins and losses than which one of these guys start at quarterback.
I completely disagree with that. Yeah. I think the quarterback is going to dictate more between the wins and losses than will the offensive line.
I can tell you this, if the offensive line's a sieve like it was last year, it won't matter who's starting at quarterback. Tom Brady can be your quarterback. It won't matter. You better have an offensive line that can do its job to help the quarterback do his job. It all starts up front.
Yeah, but I think that they have enough, at least, players there to be able to figure it out, at least to be able to get something that's more capable than what it was last year.
If they stay healthy. I mean, you got a shaky situation with Colton Jackson right now. Hopefully he was back the last couple of days. Hopefully he stays healthy. Austin Capps still on the shelf. You got to figure some, you know, what happens if Ty Clary goes down? You know, you just got some – they just don't have the depth. They can't afford any injuries up front. So my point is – there's other interesting battles. And I know we all want to zero in on this quarterback, and let's go all in on it. I'm fine with that because that's what I think what the audience wants to know about. I'm just saying that's not the most important thing to the difference between two wins and five.
So but that one position, like for a right guard, for instance, you don't. I feel like it's not going to be that one position. It's going to be just the collective of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I understand that, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But to me, if you don't get the quarterback situation right, if you don't pick the right guy to start in game one, it could be extremely detrimental because you don't have time to mess around.
If you don't pick the right guy for game two.
Well, right. But
I think you could start at quarterback game one.
But correct. But, Tommy, my point is that if you pick – say if they picked Hicks for game one, all right? They pick Ben Hicks for game one, and he did not perform well against Portland State. And then they said, crap. Well, okay, let's switch it up. Let's put Starkle in a game two. To me, that shows that they don't know.
I totally agree. So, but do you see a situation where at least two and maybe not three quarterbacks play? And KJ Jefferson's the guy that I think is still the future of the position.
He's not even
being talked about because I think his head's – I think he's all moving too fast for him. He's just got to slow down for him at this point from what I'm hearing. But he's physically the most impressive guy up there and is eventually going – not this year, but he is the quarterback of the future. I think that's pretty evident. It's just not going to be this year. Do you think – I mean, I don't see a situation where we're not seeing Starkle, Hicks, and Jones in game one.
Mm-hmm. No, I see it that
Maybe
way.
Maybe limited, but I mean –
and hopefully it's because you're blowing out Portland State that you were able to do that.
I mean, I don't know. I know it's Portland State. I know it's game one. It's a game that you must win. I mean, I know that it's way too early for must wins, but it's a can't – okay, it's not a must win. It's a can't lose. But the game that really starts the season's Ole Miss. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a glorified practice is what you're going to have against Portland State.
Correct. And I agree. I'm just saying I don't want to see one quarterback start game one against Portland State and a different quarterback start game two.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I want the right guy starting against Ole Miss.
Correct. And that's the most important part of it.
That's the one that I want to see go. If one guy starts against – if Hicks starts against Portland State and Starkle starts against Ole Miss – is the guy that takes the start against Ole Miss now your starter the rest of the year? That's the important thing.
Yes.
Because then, don't forget, you got two more non-conference games following that to really groom and get him ready without travel, with a decent enough test to get ready for that A&M game. It's a really good setup to get a quarterback ready where you can have a good test, or at least a decent test against Ole Miss. That'll be probably the easiest conference game you have this year, should be on paper. And then you get two more non-conference games. The schedule sets up nicely where the coaches got a little more liberty on some of these starting positions, not just at quarterback, all of them, because of the way the schedule sets up early.
Yeah. And if whoever that Ole Miss quarterback ends up being, if they win that game because of how good the quarterback is, then we can start actually talking about legitimate bowl game.
But you better be no worse than 3-1. And I think fans are expecting a 4-0 start.
I agree. And if they want to get to the place where they're trying to get to this year, that's what they got to do.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Before we get into our picks this year, though, we're going to have to really figure out something that, like, the loser or the winner has to do or get.
Well, I've got a credit, you know, on the books.
That was preseason.
Preseason?
That was an exhibition game.
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah, because it didn't have any outcome. There was nothing bad about it. So
I still want a credit on the books.
Okay. Well, you're 1-0 in the preseason. All right. Congratulations. Your exhibition games are going really well.
Yeah.
For you, so.
Kind of like the Raiders right now. Yeah. They mean a lot.
Exactly. All right. It is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, and myself and Tommy are going to go ahead and give what we are beefing with today.
What is wrong with you?
Okay, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
But I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm the man. I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is time for What's Your Beef Wednesday. I'll go ahead and kick it off, and I'm going to do my sports-related topic, and it's got to do with the NFL. We don't talk a lot of NFL on here on the show, at least not during the off-season here. It's mainly covered up with Arkansas Razorback news and all that, which is fine. I mean, I like to watch the NFL casually, mainly the NFL Red Zone. I think that's probably what I should say. I don't watch watching games. I watch like watching the Red Zone. So
right.
By doing that, though, I have to keep up with a little bit of what's going on in the NFL world. Well, the storylines that have been just going crazy on ESPN and ESPN.com and all of that dealing with the NFL have been because of two individuals. And it is Zeke Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys, and Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for the Raiders.
Yep.
Now I understand that it's a business up there at the NFL. Contract negotiations are just part of it. It always has been. When it comes to the money and it comes to, you know, making sure that the player is happy and satisfied with their situation in order for them to play. But these two individuals, I feel like, don't do anything positive for the NFL, or at least their antics from what they did in the past few weeks. I feel like the NFL has been struggling over the past 3 years, and they've done some things to try to help it, but the NFL overall has struggled with an image problem. They have had issues where they've had domestic violence issues across the board, and they still continue to have that going on. Of course, we all remember the kneeling for the national anthem and the controversy that started with, and how there was a major disconnect with the fans, with the teams, with the commissioners. It's just the NFL is trying to work on an image thing. And as far as what these guys like Zeke Elliott and Antonio Brown are doing, it's not going to make people stop watching the NFL. But I believe that what these two guys are doing are good reasons of why some people don't watch the NFL. And it just reaffirms their reasoning without watching the NFL. Zeke Elliott, you know, him and going back and forth with Jerry Jones about their contracts and about, you know, he's not playing, and then Jerry Jones makes a joke saying, "Ha, who's Zeke?" Ha, ha, ha. And then Zeke's like, "I don't think that's funny." And then Jerry Jones is like, "I have a right to joke with you, buddy." It's like, what are y'all doing? This is supposed to be a football game, and if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're supposed to be trying to win a championship, trying to get to the playoffs. And then the same thing with the Raiders with Antonio Brown and this helmet thing. Like, it's a helmet.
Yeah.
It's a helmet, and it has been made such a big deal, or he wouldn't even participate in practice because he didn't want to wear the helmet that's been certified by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this is why I love college football right here. You have some drama, of course. You have controversy, of course. But you never have to worry about the stupidity of problems when it comes to a contract negotiation for a running back where their shelf lives aren't very high and they're doing their back and forth in the media. And you also have a different guy who can't even get the right helmet and he won't practice. You don't get that in college football. And that's why I'll always enjoy watching college football more than the NFL because of reasons like that.
All right, the foot thing with Antonio Brown, you kind of understand that.
Of course. Yeah.
That was a mistake. It was just he was trying to take care of his body, and that was just an unfortunate event that happened.
Got to wear the shoes.
All right, so you understand how that happened. The helmet deal with AB, I've watched a little bit of Hard Knocks. Episode 3 was out last night. I haven't watched all of every one, but I watched most of all of last night's. Is it starting to get the feeling with his helmet thing that he's just trying to avoid as much of camp as he can? Hey, I'm just going to call this helmet thing the reason I'm not practicing. And that way, I just get out of more of these practices that don't matter to me. I kind of get that feeling a little bit. He says it's about the helmet. It's really about, I just don't want to practice right now in training camp.
Which, you know what, I would even respect, but why he could figure out something better than that. So use the foot. My foot hurts.
Yeah.
Just do that. That's when he's like, I saw the foot. It looks disgusting. I understand.
You can't think you're going to win this battle about, hey, I want to play with a less safe helmet. That's not going to work.
No.
You can't believe you're going to win that battle.
No. And it's like you're not even going through practices, through drills.
There was a clip last night in the Hard Knocks episode about, he was talking about these helmets, and this was, you know, because these things are pretty recent, pretty current.
Oh, yeah.
Filmed within days of it airing last night. And he was talking about it, he just thought the new helmet was ugly. You know, he had a little more colorful language than that, but basically he didn't like the look. It's about looks. It's about how he thought he looked. Is that, and I'm taking that from about a 7-second clip out of there, but that was the comment he made about the new helmet versus the old helmet. It was about looks. Not about safety, not about CTE, not about, you're not eating through a straw.
Fine
20
him.
Years from now.
Fine them. Anybody that says stuff like that where you don't want to play football, you're what you're getting paid to do because the helmet doesn't look good.
But you know,
come on.
The whole episode, like Gruden's kissing his butt the whole time. Can't wait to get him out on the field. No, you know, just kissing his rear.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that it's all for the drama's sake of Hard Knocks. Hopefully it's all just a ruse, and it's not. But if it's
legitimate, to me like a great way to get out of practice.
Yeah, and again, if that's the case, fine. I can respect it, but use something better than the helmet. Use your foot. Your foot looks like it's something from a horror movie. You can use that and say, dude, my foot looked like it melted. And I would be like, all right, I wouldn't want to play with that
hurts.
Foot. Yeah.
You know?
And there you go. You get out of practice. But I'm beefing with those guys and how they're just dominating all the sports headlines right now. And it's annoying to watch because it's like, dude, we need football. We need games. We need the seasons to start because I'm tired of this type of drama. So that's what I'm beefing with today.
I'm going to go with the lack of access to Arkansas practice. There was a column that Nate Allen wrote earlier this week. And, you know, a lot of times Nate can be crusty and a curmudgeon about a lot of things. And that's why we love Nate and some of the stuff he writes. But you've got to agree that some of the misinformation out there, and I don't have a problem with Coach Morris closing down practice and keeping the media out. And he has the right to invite anybody he wants to practice and keep anybody he doesn't want in his practices out.
That's right.
That's his right as the head coach. Doesn't mean we have to agree with it. And I think it's a little bit frustrating to me in my beef this morning because you're going to allow parents in at any time. You're going to allow high school coaches from around the state in at any time. Any former player that wanted to come was allowed in last week, but never the media beyond 20 minutes. And you don't. And that's part of the misinformation. You're letting these groups of people in who talk to people like me and you, and then you get one story, I get one story, Clay gets another story, Nate gets another story, and then it's trying to figure out what's really going on here. Because it's our job to try to talk to as many of these sources and people and quote-unquote trained eyes that are seeing these practices. And I don't know that the media would have better trained eyes for the most part. Some do. Many don't. But at least the information stream would hit, we would cut a lot of the middlemen out, if you will, trying to figure this out. So to me, my beef is if you're going to not let the media in, and this isn't a crybaby, hey, we're the media, let us in deal, just quit creating misinformation by letting large groups of other people in to watch these highly secretive practices and not groups that can disseminate information to the public and to your fan base, who, by the way, are still paying the bills.
Yeah.
So that's my beef this morning is I think there's not a ton of misinformation out there, and that's part of the problem. I think people ought to be craving Razorback football and information about practice more. And I think if we had more storylines to tell, maybe they would be right now.
Yeah, and I agree.
It's frustrating to me that, hey, if I'm a former player, I get in, and hey, you've earned certain rights by as he liked, what did he say, your blood, sweat, and tears on these fields. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't exist 30 years ago, but anyway, nonetheless.
Principle, yeah.
In principle, he's right. So, you know, I get it, but at the same time, we have a job to do that's very important as a body of media to get information to the fan base that pays the bills.
That's right. And you know what that starts happening? Because you mentioned it, how you get different stories and all that. But then we also start speculating in a little bit. We start saying, hey, we got to talk about something. We got to start thinking about something. We got to start going through some theories and seeing that this is the reason what it must be. This, you know, with Ben Hicks not getting any first-team reps and it ends up being Starkle the whole time, that must mean that he's the starter. It has to be because we have no other information and we're not getting any more information, so we had to sit here and just figure out stuff. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. So I agree with you. I'm not demanding that we have practice open to us in the media, but it's certainly one of those things where it's like, hey, man, either have nobody in or have everybody in. And it doesn't have to be for the whole practice. It doesn't have to be every single practice.
Well,
it's some.
Petrino had it some this way. Bielema has had it some this way.
Yeah.
Hey, the media watches 20 minutes. You're out, and then you can come back for certain periods. Or you're not in all week and watch 20 minutes during the week, kind of take roll call, see who's out here, and then we're going to let you in on Saturdays. I just don't like the trying to mine for gold. Then you get one story, I get one story, Clay gets another story, you know, and then trying to match up what really happened.
Yeah.
Because then you, the public out there, aren't getting the truth. And that's what bothers me is you, the paying public, you, the fan out there, you, the season ticket holder, deserve to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's my frustration.
No, I completely agree with you as well. One quick final beef that I have, this one's non-sports related. Well, I guess it's kind of sports related, but here's the thing, folks. People ask me, and I know you get it too, Tommy, when they're like, hey, how the football team is going to be this year? And you say about five or whatever it is that you say.
How many are they going to win this year?
About
five.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's my only beef, folks. I don't mind you asking because I'm going to give you my answer. I'm going to be honest about it. If you ask me, hey, how do you think the team's going to do this year? I'll give you the answer. But don't, please, for all that is holy, when I give you my answer, don't tell me how you hate my answer and how I'm wrong because you've heard this. All right? I'm giving you my opinion. And when I give you my opinion, it's just that. It's my opinion. I don't know if it's going to be right or wrong, but it's just how I feel. But when I tell you that and you're like, oh, no, that's not – no, let me tell you. See, this is what I've heard. And then you tell me it, and then you're like, so I believe that. And I'm like,
this goes
okay,
back to
cool.
My point. Yeah.
Great.
You've heard what?
Yeah. It's like, okay, that's cool. So why'd you even ask?
Yeah.
Why do you even care if you already know what's going to happen? So that's another beef I have. Maybe it's just being petty. And if it is, that's fine. I like being petty. It makes things life and a lot more fun. But I don't know. That frustrates the dog out of me, too. So I had to get that quick one in there as well.
You want to make Ty mad?
Always. Well, yeah, I figured you were going to do that. Send him a picture.
Wade from Art's Barbecue just rolled in here and brought us a big old pan of hickory-smoked, life-changing bacon. And what? It's
ham?
A big old thick slabs of ham. So I'm going to send this picture over to Ty back in the studio, and he's just going to be mad.
Oh, well, it smells so good. So we're going to have to.
Wade has hooked us up this morning over here at World of Wireless. So.
Well, excellent. This is a great.
Now we got free HDMI cables. I don't know if we're going to share the bacon.
No. The bacon's ours.
I don't
ours.
Know that the bacon's not for the, you know.
Yeah, the bacon's is ours here.
I don't know.
And that's our talent.
It's going to be you and Ben this morning.
Yeah, we'll take care of it there.
Right.
But you know,
Wade, thank you for the. It smells delicious. I can't wait to finish this segment.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
As we welcome in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director of the University of Arkansas. Hunter, really appreciate you joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great, guys. You guys staying cool somewhere?
We're trying to.
In a meat locker.
Yeah.
The only place right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a warm one out there. And Hunter, I just want to start with this because I think that, you know, we know how coaches and players and fans and us in the media, how we get prepared and our feelings towards football season and how the excitement revs up and all that. As an athletic director, what do you do to prepare for the season and get ready for the season? Do you start getting more excited? Is it stressful? Do you get nervous? Well, how is your mood right now with just 10 days away from Razorback football starting up?
Well, my mood is great, and I think our staff would tell you they would prefer that I stay out of their way and stop meddling in what they're trying to put together. You know, we have an unbelievable administrative team and support team that has worked diligently since the end of last football season. We've had three separate groups that have kind of studied our fan surveys and have come together and implemented a number of game day enhancements and game day changes and game day additions that I think when we kick off on the 31st that our fans are just going to really enjoy the experience they have at Razorback Stadium.
And let's talk about those enhancements, Hogtown being one of them, the enhanced Wi-Fi that's going to be available in the stadium, alcoholic beverages being served with beer now available throughout the stadium are three of the big ones, I think, have been the focus. Let's talk about the process of this. Did this come as a result of your observations from last year, fan surveys? How did these changes come about with you and your staff, and what led you to these specific changes you're implementing right now?
I think all of the above. I think some of my observations, some of our staff's observations from going to from other places. I mean, you look at other places, like we sent a group to Texas last year to look at the game day experience that they've done a great job of creating at the University of Texas. And I know our fans will say, God, we don't need to steal anything from Texas. But you know, some of the best things are when you go someplace and they've worked and you take those ideas and you implement them so that they work on your campus. And so I think just observation from other places, things that have worked, and then listening to our fans, some of the things that they have wanted. I mean, things that you don't even think about sometimes as an administrator, like more nursing stations or nursing stations around our stadium, diaper changing stations, stroller corrals, so that families can come and enjoy, young families can come and enjoy a football game. In the Hogtown, you know, our fans talked about not everybody has a great tailgating spot on our campus. Tailgating is very much a part of the game day experience, but there's many of our fans that don't have great tailgating experiences. They wanted a place that they could come gather with other Hog fans, and that's what Hogtown's all about. You know, we're going to open up 4 hours before kickoff. We're going to have a live band. We're going to have massive life-size television playing other college football games. That's where the Hog Walk is going to start, and there's going to be a pep rally 2 hours before the game. There's going to be a beer garden. There's going to be about a dozen food trucks, games for kids. I mean, that is going to be a place that's going to provide a great entertainment value for our fans beginning 4 hours before every game.
Arkansas Athletic Director Hunter Yurecek joins us now on the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on the Morning Rush. Hunter, you mentioned that you've listened to the fans, and I was curious about that. How has that communication gone? Is it just where when you go to events and fans come up and speak to you? Is it through email? How has that communication process been trying to have some sort of communication with the fans and with your administration as well?
Sure. It's a number of things. I mean, at the end of the season, the SEC helps each of their member institutions send out a really dedicated fan survey to all of your season ticket holders. It's going out on the One Razorback Roadshow Tour, the Razorback Foundation Club Tours, and listening to fans. I receive emails. Our staff receives emails. And as you start to see common themes, you know, some you may get one that's just kind of a isolated complaint or suggestion, but then you start to receive a number in the same area and say, okay, maybe there's some validity to this, and let's put this on our list of things that we can do. Obviously, in this day and age of everybody wanting to stay connected, Wi-Fi was one that came up over and over and over again, and we implemented enhanced Wi-Fi at Bob Walker Stadium during last season with really positive results and positive feedback from our fans. You'll see enhanced Wi-Fi here at Razorback Stadium. It'll continue to get better as the season goes on. We're still improving that. There'll be some areas that won't see the enhancement in game one, but everybody should see that by game two and by game three as you move through the season. And that enhanced Wi-Fi is going to allow us to do some really neat things with augmented reality and our video board as we head into the season.
All right, Hunter, when you ask the general public for suggestions, you're going to get a variety of things, and some are going to be good, some are going to be bad. So what was maybe the best non-obvious suggestion you got from these fan surveys and the feedback, and what was one of the things that made you chuckle a little bit, maybe in some of the feedback you got?
Well, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that probably the non-obvious really good suggestions, but we didn't have any nursing stations around our football stadium. And that may sound very simple and something that we have, but we have a lot of young families that live in this area, and you have a lot of young mothers that want to come to the game with their husbands. They want to enjoy the Razorback football, and they want to bring their young child with them. And so you kind of miss that obvious thing, okay? And so now we've added nursing stations. And as silly as that sounds, that is a big deal for young families in this area and a great suggestion that you don't think goes along with a college football game, but one that we listened to and heard that. And I don't know if we've got. I mean, we get some crazy suggestions from time to time from fans. As you
what
can
made you
imagine,
chuckle?
You know. the one that always makes me chuckle a little bit is the soft drink piece. That people just, you can't enjoy a college football game for 3 or 4 hours without your favorite soft drink. Obviously, we're a Pepsi school, and Pepsi's been a great partner to us. But it's amazing that kind of the people that lean towards the Coke and look, man, if I can't get a Coke for 4 hours, I'm not coming to your game. And that's one that keeps recurring. That I mean, maybe it's just I don't get the. I mean, people are very brand loyal, but boy, I think you come enjoy a Razorback game. And I tell them, look, if a Coke means that much to you, I mean, we see at the end of a game, there's so much liquor that's kind of snuck into the stadium. Just sneak a Coke in if it's that big of a deal to you.
Well, Hunter, I want to ask you also about all these changes and what brought them on, because obviously you've just been on the job now for a couple of years at Arkansas. And when you start looking into these changes and everything, was this something that when you first arrived you wanted to start implementing, or after last season and the 2-10 year and trying to get fans involved and knowing with college football attendance are starting to drop, you tried to do it then? What was the process of like this like, and what made you start wanting to do something like this and implement all these changes?
Well, I had to go through one football season here and see what I thought we were doing really, really well, and where I thought there were some areas for improvement and or enhancements. And yes, college attendance at college football games are down. Arkansas is not immune to that. And, you know, if we're going to kind of turn that trend around here at the University of Arkansas, we had to change what our game day experience was all about. And, you know, one of the things our fans talked about is they don't want as many presentations during the game. They think that makes the game day experience dull. So most of those game day presentations, not all of them, but the majority of them, they're going to be pushed pregame, so they're not a part of the in-game experience. And that'll give us a chance to try some augmented reality things on the video board that I think will enhance that game day experience. And so it's all about the entertainment value. Fans want a great entertainment value, not just a football game, but they want to be entertained for those 3, 4, or 5 hours when they come to our venue. And so that's what those changes are all about. It's a change of trend. I mean, there is a significant amount of money that a fan invests in a ticket. And sometimes it's not just a ticket. Sometimes it's 2 nights of hotel rooms and 2 days of meals. And we can't give a fan any excuse not to come to our games. Our Razorback fans are tremendous. They support our football team and our men's and women's basketball teams and our baseball teams, all the gymnastics. To me, like no other fan base across the country, and we've got to continue to not give them any reasons not to come and support us.
You recently described when you were at a one Razorback event in Fort Smith that ticket sales and season ticket sales are reflective of the 2-10 season a year ago. Where is the athletic department right now with football season ticket sales, and what's the bigger challenge, the 2-10 record a year ago or the great home viewing experience? What's your challenge as an AD to sell more tickets right now?
Well, I think, let's face it. We don't have an issue selling tickets at Baumwalker Stadium right now. Why? Because our team continues to be at the top nationally. They go to College World Series. And so, you know, the 2-10 record, I think, has a huge impact. I understand that. Coach Morris and his staff understand that. And I tell you, that's changing. That's going to be in an upward trend. Fans have been critical this year, saying we have a weak home schedule with only 2 SEC home games in the non-conference slate this year. I tell our fans, I think we have a favorable home schedule. We have 4 winnable non-conference games at home. We need to win those games. We need for our young kids on our football team to get experience and get experience having success. We have an opportunity to start this season on a very positive note with their home schedule. Now, that's all going to change next year. So if you didn't renew your season tickets, or you're still debating on whether you're going to renew your season tickets this year because you're disappointed that the schedule may not be as strong as you want to, next year, for the first time ever, we have 7 home games in Fayetteville. 7 home games, 4 SEC home games, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and then 3 non-conference games, first time ever. The following year, we have Texas coming to Razorback Stadium. So if you're a fan out there debating right now whether you want to get on board or stay on board, I'm telling you, like, you better, because the schedule's changing, the record of our team is going to change, and the game day experience is changing, and you're going to miss out on something really, really special if you don't stay with us.
And obviously, football season tickets are a huge financial component for the athletic department. Are season ticket sales at a critical level where it's a concern for you and your staff, and will different decisions have to be made by you and your leadership team as a result of the lack of season ticket sales?
I would not say it's critical. I would say we're not at that point where we're in a panic mode by any stretch of the imagination. We're in a comfortable spot, but we're not where we want to be from a season ticket sales stand. So it's not mission critical by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we have 170 luxury suites in our stadium, and those are sold out for the season. We have the majority of our Lowe's boxes in the north end zone are sold out, the majority of our club seats. We have a great, great fan base. What we need to make sure is we're selling is those people that are on the fringe that maybe aren't going to be those luxury suite holders or the club seat holders, and I call them kind of our sidewalk fans. We need those folks to continue to hang in there with us. But we're not in a critical position by any stretch of the imagination. We're down. We're not where we want to be, but it's not critical.
All right, last one before I let you get out of here, Hunter. I have been a big advocate of this. In fact, I have put up a page where it's a petition, if you will, because I am big on these things, and I don't know if you see them, but I'm just going to pretend like you do. I want Midnight Madness back at the University of Arkansas for basketball. It was a fun tradition that I think a lot of fans are excited about basketball right now. You don't have to go into all the details, but is there maybe a Midnight Madness or something in the works to get people excited about the basketball season once it starts up with Eric Musselman?
Well, I will tell you that there's most likely not going to be a Midnight Madness, but there's going to be a really special event that you'll probably see some more information on here in the next week or two to kind of kick off our basketball season. So stay tuned. I think it'll be a neat event to kick off our basketball season, a little bit different than we've done in the past, and you'll see some more details forthcoming here in the next couple of weeks. Not going to be a Midnight Madness, so I'm not going to paint that picture, but I think it'll be something Razorback fans will really embrace, and it'll be a good way to kind of get people interested in basketball a little bit sooner than they have been in the past.
I will say I'm a little bummed, but that's okay, Hunter. That's why it's your job and not mine, so I trust your judgment on the factor. Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director for the University of Arkansas. Really appreciate you joining us, Hunter. Good luck the rest of the way, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks very much. And if I can, I just want to remind everybody we kick off our home soccer season this Sunday night versus Oklahoma with our women's soccer team, which went to the second round of the NCAA tournament last year. Should be a great night over at our soccer stadium. First kick is 6 p.m. Sunday night.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.